And so my goal tonight isn't really, I'm not really focused so much on teaching you deep things right now. I'm just looking at the death of Christ, and similar to what I did with New Life Baptist Church last night. Last night I just covered some topics there in Romans 5. Today I want to start off with Romans 6. And, you know, tonight we're thinking about the death of Christ. Like coming Sunday, we call it Resurrection Sunday. We rejoice at the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, victorious over the grave, over death, over hell, over sin, over the devil in many ways. And so we can rejoice on the Sunday and think about his resurrection. What we generally do on this, I guess, Easter Wednesday or Thursday, we often think about Christ and his death. And the fact that he went to die, and we all know why he died. He died for you and I. He died for our sins. Our Lord God died. And if you look at Romans 6 and verse number 8, it begins by saying, now he that is dead, let me read that again. Now if we be dead with Christ, that's the title for the sermon tonight. We be dead with Christ. So what I want to do today is, you know, I don't really want to cover the death of Christ. I just preached about that last night. So, you know, we recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ died. We recognize that that is the means by which we received everlasting life. But the death of Christ is more than just salvation. The death of Christ symbolizes how we ought to respond in light of the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ died for us. So before we focus in on verse number 8 there, let's look at verse number 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the death of Christ is symbolic that our old man, do you know what the old man is? That's our flesh. It's the body by which we were born into this world. That old man has been crucified with him. So as we think about what Christ has done, praise God for his salvation. Praise God that I believe you're all saved here, at least the ones that are old enough to understand the gospel. But what more does the death of Christ represent? It ought to represent that your flesh, your body has been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? It says that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, again, we deal with this reality, this paradox, if you will, that God wants us to live a life that is righteous. God does not want us to sin. You know, but the reality is we are dealing with this crucified flesh, as it were, this dead old man that we have to wake up every morning to, and this flesh, this old man, has this constant desire to sin against the Lord. It wants to serve itself. It doesn't want to serve the Lord. The old man is selfish. The new man that we receive in Christ Jesus, or the new creature, is selfless. The new man wants to serve Christ. The new man is always perfect without sin. But the flesh sins. And so we have this like duality of our nature. And, you know, it's this frustration because I want to live righteously. I want to live for Christ Jesus. But the old man gets in the way. And the reality is, from a spiritual perspective, is that the old man is crucified. The old man is dead because we ought to be living in the new man. You say, Pastor, why is it that the old man's still kind of out there? You know, it's kind of like in zombie mode. It's still like, I want it dead. I want to crucify it. It's just because we still have to function in this world. And this is the body of sin that we unfortunately have to deal with at this point in time, which is why we rejoice at the idea that one day God's going to give us a new body, a resurrected body, and that body will never have that sin nature. It will always desire to do that which is right. But in the meantime, we have this body of sin, and we have to face reality that this flesh, this crucified old man, wants to live again and wants to commit all kinds of manners of sin. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to live a life of holiness, one that we do not serve sin. And so, the first thing that I want to bring to your attention, you know, we be dead with Christ, what does this represent? It represents that your old man is crucified and you ought to be, as it were, dead to sin. You know, God has given us not just the power of salvation, but he's given us the power to live a righteous life. Do you understand that? You know, before you were saved, before you trusted Christ as your Savior, your good works were as filthy rags in the sight of God. There is nothing an unsaved, unregenerate man is able to do to please the Lord. Only once you are saved, only once you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you receive that new creature, only then in the power of that new creature are you able to do the good works that God will reward you when He sees you face to face. And so, what we ought to be thinking about today is, well, if Christ died for me, then I ought to be dead to sin. You know, God wants me to live a life where I'm walking after His paths, after His righteousness. Look at verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, Pastor Kevin, you say, Pastor Kevin, and I'm the same. I still sin to this day, Pastor Kevin. But here's the thing. A reality of the Christian life ought to be, I know it requires efforts, it requires putting on the new man, but the reality of the Christian life ought to be that as we mature and we grow and we get further into our Christian life, that we have more and more victory in our life, in the sins that so easily bring us low. There ought to be, I kind of think about it as percentages. Let's say the moment I got saved, I don't know, maybe 5% of my life, I'm walking in the Spirit, and 95%, that old man wants to get out of that crucifixion and walk again. And then as I get, a little bit older in my life, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years into my Christian life, I'm hoping that maybe, 30% of my life is one where I'm walking in the Spirit, as it were, and 70 still the flesh is there frustrating me. But as the time goes on, more time goes on, as I grow and mature in my knowledge and understanding of my Lord God and my love toward my Lord God, you ought to be finding victory in your sin. You ought to be finding a life where you're able to walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so, as I said, the first symbolic representation of being dead with Christ is that your old man is dead to sin. It is a crucified old man. It says in verse number 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So the first thing that I want you to think about is that, boy, is my life reflective, like of a crucified old man? Or is that old man just walking, that zombie that just keeps walking, continues to consume and lust after the wrong things? Am I finding victory over that old man? Am I crucifying that man daily? Am I making sure he gets out of the way so I can live a life that pleases my Lord? Can you come with me to Galatians 2? Come with me to Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. Now let me say something about living the right life, the life that God wants to live. You know how when it comes to salvation, we generally have two ways that people aim to have salvation, as it were, right? We understand that for us, it's simple faith on Jesus. Jesus did it all. The Lord did it all, and I'm just going to trust. My full faith and trust is on Jesus, and that's how I'm going to heaven, right? And then you got the other view. Well, I'm trying my best. I'm trying to keep the commandments of God. I'm trying to go to church and do the right things to go to heaven. But you know that pathway always fails because the flesh always fails. Well, you know what? In the same way that you have trusted Christ as your Savior by faith alone, did you know it's the same way by which Christ wants us to live our lives? By faith. Look at Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. The Bible reads, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But this is the important part. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Very, very interesting. So Lord, you want me to live a righteous life. Yes, the old man has been crucified, but I'm alive. But Paul says it's not really me that's living. It's Christ that lives in me. And this is the key of living a life that pleases God. Just like the key of salvation is to put your full dependence on Jesus alone, your full faith and trust in Jesus alone. Did you know the way you walk the Christian life to live for Him is the same? It's the same principle. If you're just trying to reform the old man, let's, you know, make it in your, by your own strength. You know, I'm going to read the Bible in my own strength. Let me say something about reading the Bible. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Say, well, that natural man must be an unbeliever. Yes, it is an unbeliever. But the natural man is the old man. And you have the old man. Sometimes you go, oh, I need to read my Bible. Yes, you do. Read your Bible. I hope you read your Bible every day. Sometimes we pick up the Bible and we read it in the old man. And it just goes over our head. It's like, I read it. I read my 5 chapters a day. I got no idea what I just covered. I have no idea what I just read. I've been there. I've read the Bible and, okay, I've done my reading. I checked off my plan. What did I just read? I can't even remember it. What did I just learn? There was nothing there. And that tells me I did it in the natural man. I did it in the old man that I'm supposed to crucify and do it in Christ Jesus. Say, and this is what I do. People say, how do you do that? I don't think it's that complicated. I just say, God, help me get rid of that old man. Let me crucify that old man. And Lord, I want to read the Bible in the new man. It's just like when I get up to preach. I say, Lord, can you please take down that flesh? I don't want to preach the wisdom of Pastor Kevin. I want to preach your wisdom. Lord, use me, clean me as a clean vessel. Lord, I've sinned against you. Please clean me. I want to be just a clean vessel for your use. I want your words to come out. I want your wisdom to come out. Help me to preach your sermon tonight to your people. That's how I always speak when I get up to preach, because I don't want it to be the flesh. I don't want it to be the natural man. I don't want it to be that old man that ought to be crucified. Yo, Pastor Kevin, you should crucify that old man. Of course, yeah, I try, but it's always there, and I've got to get rid of him. And so I go to God, because I've got to do it in Christ Jesus. If I just do it by my own efforts and my own strength, you're going to fail. Just like if you're trying to get saved by your own efforts and your own flesh, you're going to fail in that regard. You've got to depend on the strength and the faith that comes from our Lord God. I read Galatians 2:20 again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, look at this, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, brethren, another thing that you need to understand, yes, the crucifying of the flesh is something we ought to aim for every single day of our lives, but the death of Christ also represents that he wants us to live by faith. You've been saved by faith. You need to live by faith. And it's a challenge. I get it. I'm the same as you. I get it. That crucified old man gets out of the cross, whatever it is, right? Picks himself up, and I was like, get out of the way. I want to live the right life that God wants me to live. And instead of it just being a battle within me, I say, Jesus, can you win that battle for me? Can you clean me? Can you use me? Can you help me? When I pick up the Bible, Lord, reveal your great truths to me so I can understand that I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my 10 minutes, my 15 minutes. Can you please reveal to me your great truths? And I need to receive that in the new man. Because the natural man goes over its head. It can't receive it. So the second part I have for you, brethren, tonight, that I want you to think about, reflect on the death of Jesus, is that he wants us to live by faith and live in Christ Jesus. He is the one that we ought to be living for, and he's the one that gives the power and the life to live the life that pleases him. Please come with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And all of these points can be their own sermons, honestly. I just want to cover it. I just want to remind you guys tonight, as we think of the death of Christ, praise God, you're saved, but you know, he wants us to take that death symbolically, as it were, and apply it to our lives. Okay, he wants us to live a life that thinks about his death and what God intends for us to do in this Christian life. Hebrews 12, please. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And you guys know this verse. Verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's kind of what I've been covering already, so those 2 main points. All right, we're laying away every weight. We're laying away the sin. We've been given power over sin. We've crucified that old man. He wants us to run the race with patience. That requires the new man. That requires a new man to be on the racing track. But again, the fact that sins are brought up here, we understand there are roadblocks. There are difficulties that we deal with as we're trying to run that race that God has set before us. But verse number 2 is what I really want you to think about. And before I read verse number 2, just think about Christ. You know, he was taken. What I love about Christ, he's a good man. He's God. He was born in Bethlehem's manger, humble beginnings, you know, lived a righteous life, loved his family, loved his disciples, loved the lost sheep out there, you know, performed great miracles. I mean, what is there to hate about Jesus? There is nothing to hate about Jesus. And yet he lays down his life, he gets arrested, falsely accused, his best friends leave him, one of his friends betrays him, right? Beaten, whipped, mocked, his beard pulled off, beaten. Bible says that his form was unlike anything that's ever been seen. Didn't even look like a man. When he was taken and the cross was put upon him, he had to carry that for a while and then crucified on the cross. And, you know, I mean, just nails in your hands and your feet, the crown of thorns. The physical suffering is just too much. What about the spiritual suffering of all our sins upon his body, right? And I was like, who could do that? Only God could do that and lay down his life for sinners like you and I. I said this to New Life Baptist Church yesterday, that as much as I love you guys, I look here, but I wouldn't die for you. Who would I die for? Who would I die for? I would die for my family. I would die for my wife and kids, like I think about it, because I love them so much, right? And Christ laid down his life. He suffered so greatly. And I just sometimes when I think, I'm sure we've all been there in our Christian life that we lose a bit of motivation, maybe. Get a little discouraged, a little cold toward the things of God. And we just like I said, we lose that motivation. And what happens when you start losing that motivation? You know, I want you to think about what verse, because we need to be on a race. We need to get to the finish line. You know, the finish line is Jesus. You know, we want to get to the point where we see Jesus face to face when we go to home to be with him in heaven. But what I love about verse number 2 is this. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it talks about him, who for the joy that was set before him, look at this, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says that Jesus endured the cross. He had to go through the endurance. He endured such difficulties in life. And then we think about Jesus and his death for us, his suffering for us. It says in verse number 3, for consider him. We ought to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. This is important. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What we're learning here is, like I said, we get a little cold. We lose motivation. We get a little weary. We might want to faint in our Christian life. We may want to just get out of church and just live like the world. You know, and give up. It's just too hard. Well, God wants us to remember the death of Christ and how he endured such suffering for sinners. Christ endured such suffering and great death for you and I. And so when we start to lose motivation and we need endurance, the Bible says we need to put our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, you endured for me. So I need the endurance. I need to keep going. I need to keep running. I need to keep pushing forward, even when I'm struggling to keep that motivation going. What's the key to longevity in the Christian life? Now, you know, we don't believe in the perseverance of the saints. You're only truly saved if you remain faithful to the day you die. That's ridiculous, okay? You're saved because of faith, okay? You're saved because not of your endurance, you're saved because of the endurance of Jesus. But when you look upon his death and you start to lose motivation. You know, you're meant to look at him and say, Jesus, you suffered so much for me. How can I not keep running for you? I'm going to get to the finish line, Jesus. I don't even have to suffer as much as you did. The third reason we need to reflect on the death of Jesus is that it's motivation for endurance. It'll keep you going. And I promise you, you're at some point in your Christian life, you are going to get discouraged. You are going to lose motivation. You're going to start wondering, you know what, maybe just living like the world is just, I mean, I'm saved anyway. Is it really worth it? I mean, I've been there. You know, I mean, maturity and growth begins to develop at some point. You don't think like that anymore. But it is very common, especially for those that are newer in the faith, to go through difficulties and just want to give up because it's just too hard. Let me just say, when it gets too hard, it's because you're trying to do it in the flesh. Like I said earlier, you need to do it in the new man. You need to, it's Christ that lives for you, okay? And you look at his endurance, and that will help you not become weary, okay? Not to give up in the race. Can you come with me to 1 Corinthians 1, please? 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Well, you're turning to 1 Corinthians 1, the 3 points so far. You know, we need to remind ourselves that our old man is crucified with Christ. We are dead to sin. Number two, we ought to live by faith. Not just be saved by faith, but we need to live by faith. Number three, the death of Christ gives us motivation for endurance to get to that finish line in the race that God has set before us. What else is important about the death of Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please, and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power of God for those of us that are saved. Are you lacking a bit of power tonight? Then you need to think about the cross. You need to remind yourself of the cross. Isn't it interesting that the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, we would say it that way, to the unsaved world, it's foolishness. It boggles my mind because the gospel message is, it's the best. What's better than the gospel? What's better than Christ dying for you and giving you a free gift of salvation? Is there a better story? Is there a better gift in the world? It's so precious. It's a free gift and it's so valuable. It's been paid by the blood of Jesus. And we understand how simple it is. Christ did all the work. He suffered for me. He's my substitution. He gives me his righteousness. And I trust that alone and I'm saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Jesus, I receive your free gift. Thank you for dying for me. I'm only trusting you, Jesus. I mean, it's such a simple transaction that takes place. Such simplicity. Such a beautiful message. Why doesn't everybody just receive it? Isn't it weird? I find it weird. Maybe because I grew up in a Christian home. It's always like, well, yeah, who wouldn't want to get saved, right? I think I told you the story where when Jonathan was really young, I took him soul winning, and this was on the Sunshine Coast, and there were these two guys, shirtless guys, come out, you know, profanity, get the F out of here, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, I thought they were going to be violent toward us, to be honest. And then we walk off, and Jonathan says to me, Dad, the reason they didn't want to hear the gospel is because they were already saved. Like, to him, it's like, who doesn't want to hear the gospel? And if they don't want to, if they're telling you to F off and get off the lawn, it must be because they're already saved and they don't need to hear it. To him, it's like, well, who doesn't? It's so simple. It's so beautiful. Who doesn't want to hear and get saved? But the Bible tells us, to them that perish, it's foolishness. But to us, it's power. You know what? I'm not afraid of death. But that's power. People are afraid of death. I'm not afraid to stand before my Creator. I'm going to be in the righteousness of Christ. He's going to see me pure. All of my sins have already been crucified on the cross with Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of seeing God face to face. I know I'm going to be in a mansion in eternity, in that new Jerusalem, the new heaven and new earth. And I'll be with all of you. We'll have a great time together. I mean, I've got this great hope that even when the world gets worse and worse and worse and there might be wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of problems, I'm like, well, I'm just passing through. I'm just an ambassador. My real home is the kingdom of God. That's where I belong. it's such power. And also the power to share the message of the cross and see people saved. What's more powerful than changing the eternal destination of someone who is headed to hell 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, now they're headed to heaven? Because you went to them and you showed them the preaching on the cross. How powerful is the preaching on the cross? But for most people, it's foolishness. Even most Christians, most churches that probably tonight are going and bowing themselves to a cross of Jesus and taking the what do you call it? The Eucharist. And they're like, oh yeah, Jesus died. It's like to tell them it's free and it's not of works. To them, it's foolishness. They still don't get it. I don't get it. It's so easy. It's so beautiful. And the Bible says it's the power of God. Look at verse number 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, the simple things of God are of a greater wisdom than the wisdom of the wise. The wisdom of the world. You know, I actually like to learn. I listen to podcasts. I like to read books besides the Bible sometimes. Woo! No. It's good to learn, right? You know, I like to think about things, but whatever wisdom I get in this world is not comparable to the great wisdom found in the cross of Christ. The power of God, and you found it. You have that power. So when we think about the death of Christ, yeah, it's salvation. Praise God for that. But there's so much more that God wants us to reflect upon. We've got great power. We're the people of God. We're the royal family. I'm a son of God. You're a son or a daughter of God. Praise God. I mean, it's such a great truth. My Father created this place. My Father made you. That's power. And to think about the death of Christ and the salvation it gives us, boy, the power of God, and to rejoice in that power is amazing. Can you come to me? Come with me to one more passage, please. Ephesians 5. Like I said, I'm not aiming to preach a long one today. We want to just think about the death of Christ. We want to be able to share a meal together and also to break the bread and drink that juice. In Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. You know something else I don't understand? I don't understand why Christians fight with each other. I don't get it. I might be a bit ignorant, a bit naive. I know we all have the flesh. I know we get frustrated at each other. I just don't know how Christians can't get along with other, like believers. I'm talking about believers, born-again believers. I don't get how born-again believers can't just get along with other born-again believers. I don't get it. Because here's the thing. If I go to work and I don't get along with a work colleague, I still have to figure out how to work with them to get the job done. In the world, we have to figure out how to just get along. And like, so if I can just find ways to just set aside some differences and, you know, look at the bigger picture, I just don't know why we can't do that amongst believers. Like, I don't get it. You know, I'll be honest, I just don't get it. I don't get it. But look at Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Be therefore followers of God. Okay, so what God does, I've got to follow that. Wow, that's a high standard. Yeah, it is. Verse number 2, look at this. And walk in love. You know, I'm supposed to love each one of you. And you're supposed to love me and to love each other. Love. You know, I kind of think about, okay, how do I get along with that work colleague that we just don't seem to, you know, be on the same page, we frustrate each other. I wouldn't say it's love, but it's that purpose of, you know, making that sale, the purpose of whatever, making the customer happy, right? To hit our KPIs, we're driven by something. And when I see brethren unable to get along with each other, fighting with one another, it's like, walk in love. Is there not Is there not something greater that we're aiming for? Is there not? I mean, what do we have to... You know, even when someone doesn't like me, and someone says horrible things, like a believer, and says horrible things about me, I tend to think he means well. I just have this idea, I just think, well, maybe there's some truth in what he's saying, he's just not delivering it the right way, but I just think maybe he's got the right intentions. It's just how I commonly think. I'm not a superhero, I'm not anything like that. I just don't understand why God's people can't get along with God's people sometimes. I'm not saying it's a problem that I'm seeing, it's just a problem that I see overall, you know, amongst brethren. I just, oh, well, he believes a bit differently about this, or oh, he raises his kids differently about that, or, you know, he didn't say hello to me at church today, whatever it is, we just got nothing in common. You got Jesus in common. What do you mean nothing in common? You're saved. We're so few that are truly saved. So I just can't, I don't get it. I don't get it. But Ephesians 5 verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. What? Well, how did he love us? And have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. This is why I don't get it. If Jesus loves me so much that he would die for me, and I'm supposed to be a follower of God, I'm supposed to follow Christ. Okay, now, I can't die for your sins. We know that, okay? We can't do that same. But, as it said in verse number 2, and walk in love, as Christ also have loved us. The love that Jesus has for me and for you, that he died for you and suffered for you, ought to be the same measure of love that I walk in when we deal with one another. I just can't get along with someone that... Wait a minute, you're meant to love them the way Christ loved you and laid down his life for you. I mean, it's a high standard. It's God's standard of love. You say, Pastor, it's impossible. Yes, of course, it's impossible for the old man, going back to point number one. Yeah, crucify the old man. When you say, I just can't get along with brother so-and-so at church or sister so-and-so at church, it's the flesh. And I don't blame you because I've got the flesh too. But I'm supposed to love and walk in love by the Spirit. I'm supposed to live. It's Christ Jesus that lives in me. And he loved me so much that he died for me, paid for my sins. So how can I not get along with my brethren? You know, the fifth point that I have for you is walk in love. You know, Christ's death is there to show us the love of God. So when you get frustrated at me, because it's my third time preaching in a row, you're probably sick and tired of me already. But when you get sick and tired of me, I want you to go, you know what? Jesus loved me. So I better love my pastor the way Jesus loved me. And I better love brother Tim the way Jesus loved me. And I better love sister Carol the way Jesus loved me and gave his life for me. That's why I don't get it. It's like the people that I ought to be able to work the closest with and be able to just forgive the stupid things that we argue about sometimes. Just whatever. Okay, you're wrong. You're wrong. Who cares? I don't care. Like, if I'm so confident about my belief and my doctrine where I stand, I'm not going to get flustered if you believe something differently about some other minor issue, some secondary or tertiary issue. We're supposed to walk in love. And so the 5 points that I have for you tonight, brethren, our title was, We Be Dead With Christ. We be dead with Christ. Well, just those 5 points once again. Number one, remember that your old man has been crucified with Christ, meaning that you're dead to sin. Okay, that old man, no, don't live by that old man. That's point number two, live by faith. Let Christ Jesus live for you. Walk in the power of the new man that he's given you. Number three, when you lose motivation, when you get a bit cold toward the things of God, remember the endurance that Jesus had when he suffered for you, okay? The death of Jesus is to give us motivation for our endurance to get to the finish line. Number four is the power of God unto salvation. Boy, I am unmovable about my salvation, and I'm so thankful that God would use a weak instrument like me to see people saved. It's an amazing power that the death of Christ gives us, the preaching of the cross. And lastly, number five, walk in love. The standard of that love is the love that Jesus Christ had for you when he laid down his life and suffered for all of your sins. All right, brethren, let's pray.